In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
So one of our trees is already losing its leaves. I don't know if there's something wrong with it, or if it's just all the extra rain we've gotten, or what. But it did make me think already of raking, although I didn't actually start raking. But it sparked a memory from some 25 years ago. It was fall time, and I was outside raking leaves and or pine needles, and Ben, our son, was 2.5 years old. We have a pretty big yard, so we have pretty big rakes. Those rakes, you know, with a giant plastic claws that go out, and they're about 3 feet wide at the business end. So Ben comes out and wants to help, wants to help Dad. So I give him one of the rakes, which he, of course, at 2.5 can barely hold. Ben gets frustrated quick enough and decides that he and I should hold the same rake together. So I'm raking our huge yard with a 2.5-year-old's hands firmly attached to my rake. After about 5 or 10 minutes of raking and at a new record-setting pace, Ben looks up and says, "I sure am helping, aren't I, Dad?" And I said, in all honesty, I could not have done it this well without you. And that was 100% true statement. I could not have done it that well without him. Now, everyone in this room knows that I could have done it faster without Ben's help, but faster does not always equal better. There's no way on earth I could have opened the potential of that job, the potential of that hour, of that connection without Ben's partnership. And yes, I could have raked it all myself, but only Ben made the glory of that moment possible. Today we have one of the more delightful miracle stories from all the Gospels. Jesus is way outside of town giving a lengthy sermon and healing so many people of illnesses and darkness and sorrow and sin. And he's giving them words of hope and words of love and words of joy and promise. And the day grows long, and the disciples get concerned for the crowds because of their hunger. And there's 5,000 families, we're told there, so maybe 12,000 people. That's a lot of empty stomachs. And the disciples press Jesus to send the crowds to local villages to buy food for themselves. The disciples have compassion, but they lack an awareness of who exactly this is that's standing there with them. And Jesus says they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. You feed them. And here's where we tie in my little story about Ben helping me rake. Jesus could have fed everyone on his own. Just a word, just a nod of the head, and all would have had plenty, and probably more efficiently than the disciples were able to manage 12,000 people. But Jesus doesn't. Jesus asks our help. Jesus asks the disciples to bring whatever food they have, and they bring 5 loaves of bread and 2 little fishies. And Jesus, with all the power of heaven within him, chooses to enlist the aid of his children, however insignificant it might seem. And we know from John's account of this miracle that the disciples didn't initially have any food with them at all. They were never very good planners. The bread and fish they bring Jesus, John tells us, they actually receive from a little kid there. Only a little kid remembered to bring lunch. What are 5 loaves and 2 fish among so many people, they ask? What's a 2-year-old's effort in helping Dad rake? Yes, indeed, Jesus receives and cherishes our meager and childlike offering, and he magnifies it, and he glorifies it, and he increases it, and he brings his divine touch upon it. The little we have is greater than we can imagine when it's placed in the hands of our Savior. A little kid offers a little lunch. Placed in the hands of Christ, it became more than enough for 12,000 people. And often we think that in order to approach God, we have to do everything exactly right. It all rests on me. Bring our best, highly polished selves. or make proper prayers, and the longer the better, and do more good than I did the day before, and grasp endlessly at perfection, and always give my all, I can do more, and I can do more, and I can do better and better and better all the time. Yeah, I'm out of breath just saying that. It's exhausting. It's an exhausting way to live. And of course, there's error in the opposite direction, too. A person may feel like they don't have anything to give or anything worthwhile. They say to themselves, someone else is smarter, someone else is stronger or wiser than me. They're more faithful, more pious, more learned, and my life is barely staying together, or my heart is so heavy right now, and I just know I'm going to do or say something wrong. You know, neither thought that I have nothing of real value to share, or that I have to continually do more, do better, do all, neither one of those is the gospel message. Neither one. The gospel message, as we hear today, is bring what you have. Bring who you are. Bring it to God and just see what happens. You don't have to just bring your best, nor do you have to debase yourself with false humility. Try bringing your authentic self. Try bringing who you are in the moment to Jesus Christ and see what miracles Jesus can't work in you. You know, the gifts and talents that you might consider insignificant or woefully inadequate, you know, I mean, you might see yourself as serving God. You might see yourself as a 2.5-year-old trying to help God rake. And you believe you're more a hindrance than a help. But the day Ben helped me rake was one of the best days ever. I still remember it to this moment. And the day you help God is going to be one of God's best days ever. And when your meager gifts and talents are offered to God, that's when miracles happen. What you have within you, and indeed who you are, can redeem much when given over to God's love. And one more item from this miracle story. I spoke just a minute ago about the passion of always trying to do more and trying to do better. Well, this passion has a first cousin. And this other passion is the fever of trying to learn more and trying to know everything and trying to grasp and study and make learning about God a person's goal in life, as if God has no other desire and purpose in this universe other than to be studied. Not that learning is bad, but it's the compulsion I'm talking about, this inner insistence. If you feel like this, carrying a sense that I should know more, and I should know more, and should know more, I invite you to relax. Take a breath. Jesus invites you to relax. In the gospel, he says, tell everyone to sit down on the green grass. Take a breath. After Jesus fed the multitude, and everyone had enough to eat, it says the disciples collected the remaining fragments, and there were 12 large baskets full of leftovers, one for each disciple. And the fathers and mothers of the church universally teach that the 12 baskets of bread represent the teachings and mysteries of God that we don't know yet, or that I'm not ready for yet, or may never be ready for. And that's okay. That's okay. It's not my job to wolf down teachings as fast as possible. You know, it's just as unseemly to do that with teachings as it would be to do with food, right? If you're doing that with food, it would be rude. Well, it's just as unseemly to do that with teachings. Being gluttonous with theology leads to spiritual indigestion. Instead, take in a new teaching when you're hungry, when you're ready, when you're in need, and then savor it for a while. Digest it. Mingle it in your heart with the love of God and see how it grows in there. Rest on the green grass with it a while and let it become part of you. And then when you're ready, take a little more. Take a little more. You have nothing to fear. Those 12 baskets the apostles are holding aren't going anywhere. God's time is long game patience. A message of today's miracle is that God doesn't need you to be a grand expert or a mini tornado doing more and more and better and better. If that were the case, the Almighty could probably do it more efficiently without you. But instead, God invites. God invites you to be like that little kid who offered a bit of bread and said, "Here's who I am." And from that, from this offering of "Here's who I am," God works miracles. Amen.